So let's just go ahead and spoil Ghostbusters. So, spoilers, there are ghosts. I'm not sure you may not have seen that coming, but there are ghosts in Ghostbusters.
You know, there's new people to every fandom. Eventually, everything's a spoiler.
Yeah, but I would assume that with ghost in the title. Now, that would be a fun one. If it's got ghosts in the title and there's just no ghosts at all.
No ghosts.
That's like this is Godzilla, king of and like Godzilla's not in it. It's just like Mothra. And you're like, why is there's no Godzilla? That would be a fun one to do.
It doesn't matter how well you signal what something is about through the title or the images. Like, someone's going to be confused when they show up and they're like, wait a minute, why is there mafia in my romance? You know?
Well, what you should have done, if I'm going to be honest, you should have called it the Mafia Nanny and then not have any mafia or nannies.
Right. It's, everyone keeps waiting for it. Like, maybe the next episode.
It's like the daily life of like a cat. And you're like, why is it called the Mafia Nanny? I don't understand.
Oh, man, the conspiracy theories that would spawn.
One day. All right. So speaking of that, we can just go ahead and start. What's up, fandom? My name is Josh. And today I have a very special guest. I have Violet on. How are you doing, Violet?
Hi, Josh. I'm good.
And we're going to be talking about your comic, The Mafia Nanny, which is taking over Webtoon by storm. Move over, Lore Olympus. We got the Mafia Nanny. So Violet, if you wouldn't mind, maybe just for our listeners, maybe tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I'm Violet. I write comics, fiction, and fan fiction. From the U.S. originally. I kind of live all over now, though. This year I'm in London, loving it. I'm an MFA student at Seton Hill in Pennsylvania with their amazing remote popular fiction program. I like spicy food and train rides, and I think carnations are very underrated.
Fair
Thanks
play.
For having me.
And I can attest, either Violet is in fact in London, because I did see a red double-decker bus that just like that went by well earlier. So either that or it's a very elaborate ruse. So one of the two.
I code my own backgrounds.
All right. So Violet, first off, big on fan fictions. So the biggest question that I have is, what are your favorite like fan fiction tags?
Okay, well, that's only the most personal question you can ask.
100%. 100%.
All right. Some of these are between me and God, but I can share a few. For reading, I like Angst with a Happy Ending.
Okay.
I like Craft Taken Seriously. Anything Fix It and Time Travel. I like the tag Canon Typical Violence, because I feel like it calls you out as a reader. Like, this fic is going to be violent, but you chose this fandom, you know? So it's kind of on you.
Like, you chose the Winnie the Pooh fandom, but you also put violent in there. What? I mean, what's going to happen?
Canon Typical Violence of Winnie the Pooh. What else? I like Rare Pairs, because I think there's something kind of metaphysical about like two characters that like really should never have even crossed paths, and then someone somewhere like cracked their knuckles over a keyboard and they're like, let's make this happen.
Yeah, I like that. It's like, what happens if we were to take Dracula and mix him with Jane Eyre? You know, like, what's like, what?
Yes.
What would happen there?
Yeah, should we? No, but did we? Yes.
So doing a lot of fan fiction, which do you prefer, fanfiction.net or archive?
Oh, okay. I'm going to sound like a real hypocrite here, because I have not transferred all of my stories over to AO3, but yeah, there's just no comparison. Honestly, I don't read anything on FFN anymore, because the ads and like the organization, it just can't hold a torch to AO3.
Yeah, that's the thing that sucks. And like, you'll see like a lot of stuff like just removed from fanfiction and then like move like over on archive. And I'm like, oh, like, I grew up with fanfiction.net. That was my stuff. I remember when
it is a pillar.
It is. And like, and if you know about Lemons, like that's like old school. Like,
oh,
people
deep
talk about
in
like
the lore.
Exactly. When they're like, oh, like, hey, is this spicy? And I'm like, no. How sour is this? Like, how many lemons we talking? Like, that's I'm old school like that. Like, I gotta go in the dirt.
Yes,
with
me too.
Other lemons.
Like, let me tell you about a website called Quizilla.
Like, oh man, like, and I loved when you would be on fan fiction and be like, yeah, I also have some art of my original characters or my like the scenes in this. Go to my DeviantArt page, and you're like, all right.
Yes.
You just
oh,
don't
man.
see that anymore.
The community was so raw.
Oh, so what were some of your favorite fandoms growing up?
So I came up in the Harry Potter fandom writing wise. I won't say it was like the only game in
Real quick, I
town,
just
but
want to
for.
ask, did you do a Hermione Draco?
Oh no, I haven't
You
actually.
never
I
did?
haven't done that one
Oh,
yet.
okay.
That's a classic though. No hate. Man, it was like the only game in town for a while though. It was HP or it was Lord of the Rings, you know, like pre-Twilight, pre-Hunger Games. I don't read Harry Potter as much anymore, but I've come back to Naruto after a long time. I should say it's
Is the
probably the one that's.
Naruto fandom still up and running?
Yes, man, there are
Really?
new fics posted every week somehow. It's
Huh.
like one of those ones where the IP is so big. I mean, you could write millions of stories in it, and none of them would be the same. I
It's
like the
so
big universes.
weird, like going on and you would find something and you'd be like, all right, nobody watches Zoids anymore or Digimon, so like I'm just gonna look through and you find Digimon and you're like, why? This has been updated recently. This was
Posted
updated.
yesterday.
Exactly. You're like, what the heck? And yeah, and you've seen there's like I love the ones when, and it is really sad, as I didn't write a lot for fanfic. And good luck finding those. I didn't write a lot, but I did try to like end my stuff because it was always a hurt in your soul when someone would just like disappear. And you'd be like on the biggest cliffhanger, and you're like, this will never come up. But I did have one, oh God, maybe like on an old Yahoo account that I had. Like I got like a message that this fanfiction.net story updated after like 5 years. And it was like,
Oh,
oh my gosh. Like I did, and
the
then I went,
subscriptions are still alive.
I was like, oh my goodness, what's going on? Yeah, no, it's crazy. What are your thoughts on that? Like, having those, we're gonna talk about the Mafia Nanny. Don't worry, everybody. But fan fiction's a very integral part of the world. Have you had any of those instances where you'll just have a writer just like drop off, or you'll be reading something and then it's just gone?
Absolutely. Oh man, it's almost worse when they take down a fic that you've read several times and you go looking for it again, and it's like someone's like, you know, gaslighting you. You're like, did this ever exist? Did I make it all up in my head? Where is this?
It was crazy. It was a Gundam Wing Stargate SG-1 crossover. Where did it go? It's like, did it ever exist? And everyone's gonna go, no, it never did.
Right. No, there's always some dude in the forum that's like, I know exactly which one you're talking about. Here's an archived version. Yeah, I have to say I am a little bit guilty myself as a fan fiction author. I haven't actually finished my like mega long fan fiction series in the Harry Potter universe. It's on my list though. It's not technically abandoned.
Now, what you
I want to
could
get to
do
it.
is you could bring those Harry Potter people, I mean, and mix them with the Naruto. Do a cool
Right.
crossover, like halfway through, and then it's just, boop, Kakashi pops up, and you're like, why?
Took a turn. Turns out we were in the same universe all along.
I mean, the Harry Potter universe never ventures to Japan, so possible.
You can't prove that they're not
Exactly.
connected.
I mean, Bo Batten's in Konoha Village, they're like right next door. People just don't know. So younger, so it was the Harry Potter, and what was there, I mean, like outside of fan fiction, what was like your big, see, there goes that red bus again. So outside of Harry Potter, like, was there anything else that you were like really super into?
I was really into just fantasy, general fantasy. So I read everything Tamora Pierce, Naomi Novik, Garth Nix, Neil Gaiman, every fairy tale like ever written, probably. yeah, man. I feel like I spent most of my youth reading fantasy, and at the time, most people would have said that was a terrible waste of my time. But looking back, I think it was the best way I could have spent my teen years.
For sure. So how did comics come around? Like, were you reading comics, or were you recreating your own? Like, how did like the comics kind of, and then the bus, did it just U-turn, or do you have multiple buses?
The transit here is
Busai?
amazing. There's so many
Oh
buses.
my goodness. All right. So yeah, sorry. Yeah, like, or like, how did comics kind of hop aboard, or hop? I don't know. I'm focused on buses right now. I'm sorry.
They're very distracted.
So yeah, how did the comics come into play?
It was through my fan fiction, actually. So I started writing this fan fiction series when I was like 19, and I wasn't expecting it to go anywhere. And I worked on it for like a decade, as one does.
What was
And
it about?
it was a Harry
Harvard Harvard
Potter.
Osters?
I
Okay.
should say, what is it about? It's ongoing
Okay.
to be completed. It's great. It's called the Rigel Black Chronicles, and I've had a blast writing it. But several years ago, a producer at Webtoon, the lovely Quinn, actually reached out on Discord and said she read my fan fiction. She thought my style would be well suited to comics, and had I considered auditioning for a title at Webtoon. And so then I had to go and Google Webtoon, which tells you how on the pulse I was about comics at this point. But when I realized she was serious and that Webtoon was like the biggest international platform for digital comics in the world, I went for it. I picked Forever After out of the Greenlight program, and it was right in my wheelhouse. It was like fantasy, adventure, a little fairy tale, a little comedy, and I wasn't sure what to expect because I have no artistic ability, like at all. I draw like drawing stick figures from the side, so you don't have to make the eyes match. Okay, this is the level of
Yeah,
talent we're at.
100%. Like you only have to draw like one eye and like a mouth, and that's it.
Yeah, and it's probably smiling, so it's just a little like see, yeah. So, my first season of Forever After, my artist Hannah Alexandra had to teach me like so much about what was and wasn't possible for her to draw per panel. And so I'm indebted to her and the team for that comic for teaching me a lot about the process, but I learned and I figured out what worked for the team. And seeing the final product was like mind-blowing. It was like better than anything I had imagined. Like the words I put on the page compared to what the artists create is night and day. It's such magic. To this day, I'm like awed by every episode that comes out, especially because I don't have access to all the files that the artists are working on usually. And so when the episode goes live on the website is the first time I'm seeing it completed as well. So
That's
for like
awesome.
every fan out there who's like, oh my God, when is the next update? I can't wait. I'm like right there with you, actually.
That's awesome. So let's talk about the Mafia Nanny. So what is the Mafia Nanny about?
So the Mafia Nanny follows Davina, who just finished her training as an elite nanny, and she's ready for her first assignment. Unfortunately for her, she is hand-selected by the underboss to a notorious crime family, Gabriel, whose young son, Mikey, is in danger due to the dangerous lifestyle he leads. So Davina has secrets and questions about her past that she thinks might be connected to this crime family. So she takes the post and she thinks, I'll be out in a year, get my answers on my terms, and then, things get complicated.
And we're gonna try to avoid as many spoilers as possible. It's hard, but we're gonna try to avoid as many spoilers as possible. What brought about the idea for Mafia Nanny?
So as a writer for Webtoon Originals, my sort of like pathway is a little different from some of the creators that write and draw their own comics on the platform. So I actually get a glimpse at comic concepts that have been developed in-house, and when I see one that resonates, I can audition for it. And so when I first saw the concept for Mafia Nanny, which was something like elite posh nanny falls for her mafia boss, I thought it had so much potential for world building. And so my initial impulse was, I'm going to create a complete fictional web of international criminal organizations. And then Davina's going to like wade into the middle of it with like some light hacking skills and a whole lot of gumption. And then the producers were like, it's a romance title. And I was like, no, totally. There's obviously I'm going to write romance, which I totally write. Romance is where you like have two hot characters and you put them on screen together, right?
That's all that is.
Yes. So I was way out of my league when I auditioned for it, but I was looking to expand my genre chops a little bit because normally I do just write fantasy. So I thought working on this concept and making it my own would be the perfect way to like stretch as an author. And also, I think it's interesting to take a concept that is traditionally more like a dark romance, and give it a more wholesome twist. Because when you think of mafia romance, you think like broody alpha male with no morals and like probably like a sad, broken girl who processes her trauma by like falling for the bad guy. And I read a bunch of those initially to sort of see where the genre was at. It turns out it's in a really dark place. And so I took that and said, what do I like about all these types of stories? I like the morally gray characters with complex motivations. I like the stakes that are like pretty much everywhere you turn, there's stakes. I liked playing with kind of the spectrum of like power and impotence and safety and fear. And then I decided right off the bat that what I didn't like was anything that glorified organized crime. So it was important to me to sort of depict the darker aspects of criminal organizations without making it an attractive choice, even though like all the characters are very attractive in this comic.
No, I wouldn't
Admittedly.
say that. So how did that work? Like, were like when with your artists, were did have you been like did you write like what they should look like, or did they give you some sketches and you wrote to, fit how the characters look?
So on both the projects I've done for Webtoon, I tend to sort of determine more like what a character's gonna be like personality-wise. Very rarely I'll have a note that's like I'm thinking long hair or I'm thinking short hair. But I basically just let the artist completely come up with the concept for what the characters visually are gonna look like. And that's true for all of the characters, not just the main characters. Whenever I introduce someone new, I give them a sense of like what role that character is going to play in the story. And then the artist has free rein creatively because I know anything I suggest is not going to be as good as what an artist comes up with.
So what were your, like, so when you're creating your characters, you were like, nanny and then daddy. Is that kind of what you went for? You were like, we want this is what we want.
Yeah, for Davina, I really wanted her to have sort of an interesting computer-based skill set. And so I told them that Davina was going to be a very professional looking person. And she would be just put together almost all the time and be very focused. And so I think that sort of inspired them to create a character that I guess has like certain angles, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm not visually inclined at all. So like genuinely, yeah, I think I just sort of told them like what Davina's character arc was gonna be, and they somehow managed to create a character that looks exactly like what her personality is, which I wouldn't have never been able to do.
So with Mikey, 'cause that does happen a lot where you have like the kid who is more grown up than they should be, through different circumstances. Is that what you were kind of going for, or did you want to try and like take that trope and kind of play with it more than just like the standard like Detective Conan-esque type of, archetype?
Yeah, Mikey had a lot of different inspirations. So his character turned out to be pretty complex, I think. I read Humor Me by Marvin W. She's a French animator, and a little bit of Spy Family to kind of get an idea of how children were portrayed in comics. And I love musicals, so I feel like he's a little bit Annie and like a little bit, the recent Matilda, like that
Yeah.
aggressive kid energy. Yeah, I wanted that in there as well. And then I actually took a 6-month nannying job while I was writing the first season for research purposes.
It's like,
And
I'm
it's
gonna be an au pair if you don't mind, just for a little bit of time.
just for a bit. Yeah, I got to be a nanny for these like adorable British children with accents and oh, they're so cute. But it taught me a lot about children and working intimately, like with a family you're not part of, and the expectations of modern childcare. So all of that went into Mikey's character as well.
We have a lot of, I don't think this is chapter one, so I don't think it's super spoilery, but with Davina's backstory, with her family being, familied, her family got Disneyed. Is that a good way to say it? Is that okay? Can we say they were Disneyed? So they were Disneyed. But was is that there's another bus. Again, I get distracted every time I see a bus now. I'm gonna be like, is it large and red? With with everything that happened to Davina's family when she was a child, and then kind of being raised to become an elite nanny, are we going to, I assume, again, this is Sans spoilers, are we going to see a lot more of like her backstory in later chapters? Like maybe when she was a child, things like that. Is that something that is possible?
It's possible. I would say her backstory certainly informs her motivation for a lot of things that go down in the comic. And it does complicate her position in the family. And so, yeah, there's definitely a lot of room for exploration there, I think. And yeah, it complicates her emotional arc as well, because Davina sort of comes at this job from a place of having experienced the emotional component of that work that her nanny did for her, as well as the physical component of just saving her as a child.
And being close to Mikey and Gabriel, so that's kind of a... And, I mean, Gabriel, good Lord Almighty, the character design.
Yes.
Yeah, so... With the different characters, are we going to be seeing possibly any more of the nannies? Because like you get a chunk at the beginning when it's before Davina kind of gets assigned, and you see like the nannies in action and everything and some cool little like shots. Is it possible that we may see some other nannies down the line? Because I was kind of hoping for that. I was like, what happens if like. You get like the end. This is all speculation. What happens if like we have the Angelinis and then, oh no, like they have Davina and her nanny. Oh, but then another crime syndicate has their nanny who is Michelle, and they must fight each other. Like I was like that would be a fun one. So, season two, just throwing it out there. Is it possible for more nannies popping up?
I don't know. I actually. Haven't decided that far ahead. Like this is, if my stories had like a caution tag on them, it would be like the author does not know where this is going. So I think that would be really fun to fold other nannies back in. Or I also think it would be cool if one day there was like maybe a spinoff, or maybe this will be fan fiction one day. Other. Original characters in the universe, mafia or elite nannies assigned to other important people in the world. I don't know. It would be really cool though.
Is there a name for like the nanny organization, right?
Yes. In this comic or the one it's based on in real life?
In the comic.
Yeah, it's called ENA, the Elite Nanny Academy.
So what is it based on in real life? Are there the queen's nannies or are the king's nannies now? Is like
there
where...
are, yeah. There's a I think it's called Norton's. There's a nanny school that turns out nannies for, yeah, the elite of British society, basically. And I think they probably do turn out nannies that look a lot like Davina. Maybe not so much with the butt kicking, but definitely but everything with the else butt that kicking. They learn. I mean, maybe, I don't know.
I mean, nannies are with the child like a good chunk of the time. They need to protect. Webtoon, if you're listening, can you send Violet and I off to the Nortons just so we can just see what like the daily life of like a not mafia nanny is? I think that would be fun. Can we make that happen? That would be, I'm just saying, that'd be cool. What were some of your inspirations for for the comic, like with your writing and everything? Like what? I know you said, kind of like some spy family and, own experience. Was there any other like inspirations that you kind of thrown into the series?
I think, yeah, this is hard because I read a bunch of webtoons before I started writing for Webtoon to just kind of see like what was out there. I think Purple Hyacinth probably influenced this a little bit. The action sequences in that comic were just absolutely stellar. Yeah, Humor Me, that was a big one, honestly, for Mikey's character and just for the overall kind of tone that the comic sometimes hits. Let's see. Yeah, my own nannying experience was, it gave me a lot more because I had the basic, like, sort of outline of this story and where it was going. But once I actually started working as a nanny, I realized, there's what a huge emotional component there is to like making a connection with a child. And I think that really comes out with Davina's work that she puts in with Mikey. And I hope that the comic ends up conveying like a sincere respect for childcare workers around the world. And one of the hardest parts actually in the initial writing of the script was taking Mikey's mother out of the equation. I had a really hard time doing that because I think mothers are really underrated. They do so much work in a household to keep it together. And it felt like a real betrayal to write her out at the get-go, but it is a romance between the nanny and the dad, so it would be a little awkward if she was still in the picture.
Well, you could always, you know, do something crazy. You could Inuyasha it and, you know, just bring the mom back. I mean, just randomly and like, oh, she's back.
She would have to be the villain, right?
Or just the misunderstood, like an anti-hero. Like, that would be, she wants
it
revenge.
All a misunderstanding.
But who does she want revenge on? The whole of the Angelinis. Never know. I mean,
it's right, season two for me.
it is really cool that you were able to like go in and do you know, go in and become a nanny to, you know, get that like experience and everything, because a lot, you can't do a lot of that with webtoon. Like, you can't do that with like viral hit and just start beating people up on the street. That's a little bit different than, you know, what you're able to do. So I mean, yeah, like it's really interesting that you were able to do that. Do you think that gave you more of a, like, I mean, I know we kind of, you're talk about it, like, definitely more of an appreciation, but did that give you more of like insight on like how a child like this would possibly react to the situations around him?
Yeah, I think it broadened my understanding of children generally. Children are wild, it turns out. Like, you think you can predict them, like they'd be very simple, but they're so complicated. And the kids I work with, they do things that surprise me every 5 minutes. Like, I don't know what's going on in their little brains, but it doesn't make any external logic. And so I think that's a fun aspect of Mikey's character, because I can take him really high and really low over the course of a single episode, and he can kind of set the left and right bounds of the emotional arc of the story, but in ways that are kind of unexpected and often humorous. Children are almost always funny without meaning to be.
I mean, 'cause like, that is one of the things I noticed a lot with your writing style with Mikey in particular, which Davina, you know, the Mafia Nanny title, but I mean, to me, like, Mikey kind of like steals a lot of the stuff that he's in, just because he can go from like 0 to 100 like that, and it's really fun. Like, you can see him being all like, you know, big mafia and everything like that, like, I'm gonna, you know, imitate, you know, Gabriel and be all big and buff, and it's like, oh, but I do want my ducky. So like, like, it's just like, it's like on a dime, and I love that. So like, I does feel like you are getting like the complexities of a child and like how they think, you know, down and putting it on paper. So it's been really refreshing to, you know, read that, because like a lot of the stuff you'll have, it'll just be like child and be like, I'm gonna go play in the ball pit, and you're like, okay, cool, yeah, that's how, you know, someone would write a kid. But the way that you write, especially Mikey, is it's really endearing. It makes you like kind of like fall in love with the character. Like, yeah, I like this kid. Like, this is a good kid right here.
He contains multitudes.
Sure. So what are some of your favorite aspects like of the series?
I think my favorite part of the series is the location, which doesn't sound exciting, but I really like researching all the places mentioned in the comics, and coming up with characters who represent various parts of the European crime scene. I love to travel. Anyone who's seen my Twitter will see it's mostly just pictures of food and landscapes. So having an international setting for the comic is just pure fun for me in terms of melding reality with fantasy. I've only been to Lyon once, so I have to keep reminding myself what things look like. But shout out to the comments, because people will straight up be like, that fountain is not accurate. They're really keeping me honest. It's very good.
Well, okay, but I like that, but at the same time, I don't like that. You know, it's like, well, maybe not the Lyon, France that you're used to. Like, what about my Lyon, you know?
Have you considered that we're just in a close dimension?
You know what? Maybe. And I'll go with you. Webtoon, if you would like to send Violet and I to Lyon, like, let's just, I mean, we'll go. We'll go just so we can make sure that there's no fountain there. So
it's a work trip.
Yeah, we can write it off. It'll be fine. Who are some of your favorite characters to write?
I mean, yeah, it's got to be Mikey because he steals the show. Like you said, he's a treat every time he's on set. I think I have six younger siblings, actually. I think I write a little bit of each of them into Mikey. And so I'm just hopelessly attached to him, which as a writer is not ideal. He's basically marked safe from every conflict. But I also really enjoy Adam, the driver, because I think he brings a lot of like regular guy energy, you know, to the comic. The other characters can be a bit intense, small doses.
What do you want like your readers to kind of like take away from the comic?
Crime doesn't pay.
Unless you're paying a nanny, then technically crime does pay for salary. So
let's see. Seriously, it's a story about, I think, seeing the good and the bad in people and forgiving them for the past as long as they're trying to do better. I think it's a story about freedom and the cost of power, what you're willing to sacrifice for it. And it's also about innocence and like the responsibility of parents toward children, and just the ability of love, like familial love and romantic love, to overcome any obstacle. So hopefully people take away, you know, an uplifting message while not being too enamored with the underlying lifestyle that is represented by Gabriel's family.
Nice. So what's on tap next for the comic?
Well, I just started.
We're going to space.
We're going to space. Oh, gosh. It's like a sixth or seventh season of Archer or something, right? All of a sudden we're in space. I just started scripts for season two this week, actually. So fans can rest assured there's another arc coming after this season finishes. Let's see. For me personally, I just finished a YA fantasy novel, actually, that I'm going to go on spec with next year. This has been a fun project close to my heart this year.
YA fantasy novel, you say? Are you allowed to talk about the YA fantasy novel?
Sure. It is.
Because, like, I did come from, I worked at, back in the day, Borders, when it was still a thing. And that was, like, my area, like, where they kind of had me. Like, I was in the young adult manga, like, section. So, like, I had to read all the Artemis Fowls. I had to read all the Ranger stuff. I had to read all the I had to read all this stuff. So when somebody came up, I could be like, oh, you have a 12-year-old boy? Get him this. Get him 39 clues. They'll be fine. Have fun with that. You know, so I had to do all that stuff. So I still am like, I'll read some YA. There's some good stuff out there, you know.
Mm-hmm. YA is for everybody. this one is it's about a dream fae who has to wake her island from winter by finding the missing dream of spring. It's really wholesome. It's got classical adventure, seasonal magic, and it kind of explores the question, like, do dreams drain us or do they sustain us? And I had a lot of fun writing it. I wrote it last year while I was living in Taiwan. So it's set on an island and there's lots of like great scenery. Really fun.
Oh man. So you've got the YA coming out. You got season two. I'm just saying that would be the perfect time. You know, maybe they go to Japan and there's some Yakuza people, but then there's also like a Yakuza nanny. And then we could spin that off and call that like the Yakuza nanny. That would be pretty fun. Just saying.
That's true. You know, there probably is some worldwide potential in this universe.
I forgot to do this at the beginning. I was going to have you like grab something from like off your shelf and like tell us about it. So now, unfortunately, I didn't do that. So if there's anything in reach, like grab something and tell us about it. Like, why is it special?
Okay, well, it's bulb season here in the UK. So I have a vase of daffodils because you can buy them for like a pound and they're all curled up and dormant. And then you put them in water and they just bloom over the course of like 2 to 3 days. There's something kind of existential about it, like watching them bloom over and over again. And then you just get new ones and then those bloom. And yeah, it's perpetual. But I'm really enjoying spring here in the UK.
That's awesome. Yeah. Okay, perfect. So that worked out just like I wanted it to.
Okay.
All right. So we talked about this a little bit earlier. Is there anything that you're currently reading or watching that you think our listeners would enjoy?
So I've been doing more romance novels lately, and I just finished Even Though I Knew the End by C.L. Polk, which is a noir fantasy romance about a magical detective in Chicago in the Roaring Twenties. And there's like angels and devils and contracts. It's great. Highly recommend. And
Awesome.
then yeah, I was telling you I recently binge watched The Bear, which just like fascinated me because there's not a lot of media out there that intentionally makes you uncomfortable. You know what I mean? But yeah, I found it so interesting. And I found myself pausing the show and taking my pulse, like, why am I so stressed out right now? They're just cooking. But
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I love the bear. It's good. And yeah, that's definitely a good recommendation. I like that. And now I'm interested in your what was it? Now I know the ending, or I know how it ends. What was it?
even though I knew the end.
Even though I knew the end. Hold on. Even though I knew the end. Okay. I've got that on my I'll see if they have an audiobook because I love reading, like, and I have a nice bookshelf and everything with books. Audible books, I'm just like, man, it's easier because I can just listen to it while I drive. If I'm doing something boring at work, I can just pop it on and just, let it kind of wash over me as I'm just like entering garbage. So yeah, I'll see if they got an audio because like that sounds interesting. Violet, thank you so much for coming on. This was very fun.
Yeah, I had a really good time. Thanks for having me and thanks for listening.
Oh, definitely. Where can people find you social media wise if they want to follow you, and where can they check out the Mafia Nanny?
I am on Twitter at matter underscore violet, and I'm on AO3 FFN as Murky Blue Matter is my handle. The comic is up on Webtoon, on the app, which is free to download, and on the website. And it's free to read. There's new episodes every week.
Excellent. And we did a good job of not spoiling anything for Mafia Nanny.
Yes, we did so
We
good.
did so good. Except when Mikey breaks his arm in chapter six. I'm just kidding, that doesn't happen. Or does it? Who's to say?
Take
No.
that back.
We'll just rewind it. It'll be fine. But yeah, definitely check out Violet's stuff. We're gonna put everything in the show notes. So if you want to check out the Insta, check out the fanfic. We'll throw the fan fictions in there. We'll throw the archives and we'll throw the you know we'll put all that in there. And then we'll also have a link where you can check out the Mafia Nanny. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh L. Kane. You can find the podcast on Instagram at What's a Fandom and on Twitter at What's a Fandom PC for podcasts. All of our episodes available wherever you download podcasts. So Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Podbean, all those places, we are there. We are also looking for another co-host, so we want something a little bit more full-time. So if you're interested, hit us up in the business email, which is also in the show notes, or you can just reach out to us on social media, and we'll get back to you on that one. But again, Violet, thank you so much for coming on. It was a blast, and I am ready for more people to read Mafia Nanny. And whenever the inevitably when Webtoon decides to make a live action Netflix series.
One can hope.
All right. So for What's Up Fandom, I'm Josh.
And I'm Violet.
Hi, everybody.